But you see, today, our sermon has entitled Love Inferno. And so let me start from 1 John 4, from verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. See what I mean? Love is of God. That phrase touched me to my bone. He said, love is of God. It's not of the devil. If there's anybody that has the definition or the proper expression of love, it's God. See what I mean? Love is of God. He says, And everyone that loveth is born of God. Are you seeing this? And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. He says, if you don't love, you don't know God. What a thing to say. That's why on Thursday I said, I had to bring out that big grammar. It's a big dichotomy, a big confusion that somebody will be a prayer warrior and not be a person of love. And you know, we have all of that around. Somebody that is very pious, religious, but yet does not walk in love. You know, Jesus gave parables to shame religious leaders who don't walk in love. He said a Levite passed, and there was somebody who had just been robbed and was beaten and ignored him and went. A Samaritan passed. He knew what the terms he was using. He knew what he was saying. So after me, I'm a man of love. I'm a woman of love. Amen. Now see verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That means the substance of God is love. It means you cannot separate God from the character of love. Hallelujah. This is the reason why the subject of love is the most captivating to men. Because if God is love, man is also love. I'll prove it to you. The Bible says, Genesis 1, that says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So man was created in God's image and likeness, right? So if God is love, then men, we are love. I'm telling you, it's just that after the fall and the sin of man and the fall of man, the love in men became corrupted. Are you following me? So our love is upside down and twisted, but we are also still love. It's just that it has been corrupted by darkness. But you see, in Christ Jesus, our love has been restored. The God kind of love in man has been restored because we are in Christ. Say amen. Amen. Now, I want to make you know something. Listen very well. If you come for services in Newbury, I want you to know that there is no casual service. Every teaching, there is no teaching that is not important. Every teaching is very important. When we studied, when by the time we are done, you see what I'm saying. You know, years ago, I had a vision. 2017. How many years is that? 7 years ago. January 10th, 2017. I was in a vision. I felt it, and I saw the rapture. I saw the whole sky. I saw the Lord Jesus come, stand in the sky. While he was standing in the sky, we were just... And I was going with a roommate of mine then. His name was James. Very interesting dream. In that dream, you should know James. Fed. This was my... I just finished youth service, but I decided to stay back a little bit in what they used to call family house. And so I and James were going up to join Jesus in the sky. And at the point, James went and I came down. And I came down now and I began to walk around. I believe God allowed me to come down in that dream to just help me see what's going to happen. I was walking down and I saw things that... This is not what they told me. I'm telling you what I saw in you. You see a car just moving and somebody just disappeared. And you just run and hit somewhere. Boah! All kinds of things. You see a plane. People just get missing. And the news took it that people are just getting missing in their thousands, in their hundreds of thousands, in their millions, hundreds of millions, and just... And everywhere. But one of the things that the Lord made me see, so I kept walking around as though there was a tour guide. And this person was just carrying me around, making me see what was going on. Then I got to a certain place. I saw people were now coming into filling stations because it looked like there was light there. And because things were just happening. Everywhere was in chaos. And close to that particular filling station, there was a billboard and there was a pastor's face on it. Who took up stones and there were stones. They saw a man. They said, are you not a pastor? They said, they beat him. If anybody that was a pastor around, they found them and were beating them. So, and I had to now go closer to listen to what they were saying. They said, you did not tell us the truth. You were not telling us the truth. They were carrying... If you see a church banner, they would go and burn it. And they were saying, they never told us the truth. They were not telling us the truth. And I woke up from that dream. I said, please not tell us the truth. What do you mean? The truth. The pastors are not saying the truth. What do they mean? And then I now began to study what people hear generally. Sometimes you need audacity to stand in space and open the Bible and say, this is the truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because, see, the job of pastoring is very different from every other job in the world. If a doctor makes a mistake, a person can die. Right? privilege to stand and preach the word of God, whether they are one, they are, I used to say jokingly, whether they are one and a half people, I must ensure that I must present you what Jesus would have said to you if he was standing in front of you. Are you with me? See, when it comes to the Christian faith, they are not, it's not, there's no gray. It's either black or white, and you have to study carefully to draw within, to separate the lines from the lies. So, when I want to do a teaching like this, please pay attention. We are called New Breed for a reason. Are you with me? You may hear some things that you may never have heard before. Are you with me? You may see some patterns here that you may never have seen before, but please, and I can assure you, if you have questions, you can always raise your hand, or do after the teaching. Or you can also see me after the service and say, I don't understand. Why are you doing this thing? You know, somebody came to ask me, I said, why do you shout glory? And I had to open the Bible and showed him. He was like, wow, oh, this is that serious. There's nothing I just done, because it's not about a youthful church thing. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. And so we've called the service Love Inferno. Inferno is a word that alludes to fire. It directs you to fire, or it points to fire. In the dictionary, Inferno is defined as a large fire that burns dangerously. Praise the Lord. And so when we say Love Inferno, we are talking about love that burns like an energy. Love that burns with some energy. Are you with me? If you are right now, you want me to repeat something again, raise your hand. So let me assume somebody is trying to write Inferno. Inferno is a large fire that burns dangerously. Very dangerous. Hey. And so when love is as a great fire, it becomes the burning energy that drives the lover into action. Let me read that again. When love is as great as fire, or when love is described as an inferno fire, we are talking about the burning energy that drives the lover into action. When love is as great as fire, it becomes the burning energy that drives the lover into action. Praise the Lord. I'm already receiving testimonies from the sacrifice giving we did last month. Somebody messaged God giving me a job recently, and another one messaged me about a testimony that they got, another testimony. Now, I was telling them in their house, I said, I did not talk to anybody to give all those things that they got. They responded to God, and are you with me? My own job was to tell you what God said. Praise the Lord. Ah, as you yield, your life will change. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. And so even in this teaching, as you yield, your life will change. So let me repeat the last line I said. When love is referred to as inferno, we are talking about the burning energy that drives the lover into action. The burning energy that drives the lover into action. You see, many people, when they hear the subject of love, their mind goes to the fact that, or it sounds as though love is a very sublime thing, like something that is not strong. Somebody said, I'm not a preacher of love. I'm a war. A famous philosopher, I was the one that said that. I'm a war, I'm a fight. You know that social media is a crazy place. Somebody came out and said, I don't like peace. I want problems always. And so they think that it's soft people or people who don't really have strength that opt for the love option. Are you with me? They think it's people who don't really have strength that opt for the peace option. That if you're really a strong person, you will like war. You will like, let me tell you, love is stronger than war. You need to be a very strong person to be a person of love. I'm telling you, it is easier to be a troublemaker than to be a person of love. I can prove it to you. Love is a force. Love is a force. Tell your neighbor, don't sleep off now. If you study 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4, when the Bible was trying to describe what love is, because it has already told us that God is love, then 1 Corinthians 13 is trying to describe love. Now, listen. Even though it says charity, the proper rendition is love. Are you with me? And I explained in the midweek says that the difference between charity and love is that somebody can be charitable but not loving. A company can do charity endeavors so that they can tell the government that they did their corporate service responsibility. That does not mean they love the people. Are you with me? Now, okay, look at number 5. It says, love endures long. That's already strength there. Yes, sir. Love endures long and is patient and kind. That is strength. That is power you are seeing. That is a force. Do you know what it means to be enduring and yet patient and kind? Somebody can be patient but not kind. Oh my God. I tried to talk about it in the music service. A husband and wife can be in the house and preparing to come to church, and a woman is taking time with her makeup. And she said, the husband goes like this, "Honey, please, let's go to church." I'm like, I'm coming. Then he says, "See, you are annoying me, or you do this in every time. I'll just wait for you. I will not allow myself to get angry this morning. You are a very, very restless woman. You are a very, can't you plan? You don't have sense." He's patient though, but he's not kind. He may wait. He said, I'll just wait for you. I'm just going to wait. Nonsense. All these women, nonsense. He's patient. He's enduring, but he's not kind. It takes a force stronger than normal human calculation to be both enduring, patient, and kind. But he doesn't stop there. He says, love is never envious. No boys over with jealousy. Love is not soft. Tell you, love is not soft. And guess what? Even in all this explanation about love, this is not the only place the Bible tries to define love. There's another place which is the real context of our teaching today. Let's look at Song of Solomon chapter 8. Song of Solomon chapter 8. Serve me, I'm blessed. Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 6 to 7. It says, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart," King James. Okay, what does Amplified read? Okay. Give me King James. Okay, from verse 6 to 7. It says, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death." Are you seeing this? Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The cause, "And they seem like unto him but a few days, for the love he had for her." Can I tell you something, ladies? Listen, don't assume man loves you. See, if he has not proved it, he does not love you. I will talk. Don't worry, leaving a claiming conference. I will talk. There is nothing like, maybe he likes me. If he likes you, he likes you. See, it will be so obvious, eh? Look at what we know it very well. You will think you are not a prayer warrior. Fall in love, you will be awake till 3 a.m. Your phone will die, you charge it again. Yeah. Is anything else doing that thing? MTN midnight call. I gave up long time. Hey, those days, remember that charger here, that they have something like this, that you now put the charger inside, it will be showing green and yellow light when it's charging. Hey, God. You charge it, you plug it back. You say, where were we that time? Then you continue talking. It's when love is in place, and I always say, when love is abundant, sacrifice is easy. The one that just comes to church and they are doing, "You are what?" I mean, my own. Sometimes I don't even need to sing. I'm a chill guy. I'm chill. Jesus. Sky Daddy, I love you. When you are chance, you can get my text message. I did not offend you this week. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't womanize. We good. We good. Then your pastor will run and see somebody with megaphone. "Jesus loves you!" I'm not that extra. I'm cool. You are worthy of my praise. That's Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 3. From verse 2 to 3. He says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet." That's the sermon of his own. Verse 3. Everybody read verse 3. 1, 2, 3, go with a loud voice. Read this thing again. "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Read it one more time. "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." So that means if any man has this burning passion, this energy that drives to action, God knows him. That means you can also say, if a person does not have this love, that burns like a passion, God does not know him. Now, you may think I'm overstretching the truth into a lie, but I'll show you something else very soon. Open to that same 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. Everybody read 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. "That if you love Jesus," I know somebody will want to ask me, what about that time where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Many will say unto me, we have done many mighty works in your name, and I will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Study that chapter well. I think we explained it that day, right? Matthew chapter 7, he was not talking to everybody. He was talking to the false prophet. So that, get it behind me. If you notice, he did not say, get deep here. Prophets unto them. Who are the them? In the context, the false prophets. Do you know that there are false prophets with us today? There are many people who are not genuinely born again. They went to take power from Satan. You know what I'm talking about. Let's not go far. There are plenty. They went to take power from Satan, and they are saying Jesus. Eh? They are saying in Jesus' name, but the source of that thing they are using to do the miracle is darkness. Jesus will tell them, for you to even do that, eh? He said, they are prophesied in thy name. He says, I never knew thee. And in my name they have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. What did he say to them? Verse 23. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Not I knew you once and I forgot. Devils. Because then I got born again and started casting out devils. I'm like, I can't cast out demons and God will not know that I was casting out demons in the name. But I believe the gospel. I received Jesus. I love the Lord. How come? So he made me cry. Until years later, I studied the Bible and I found it out. But I also now found out on the field of cast of deliverance that you can actually use, because they said the only person that will call this guy and he will respond like this, they got people for him. So they came to my room. They said they had run to the gate. From where I shouted, I will not call him, but his name is Sarah. So let's assume the name is Kunle. Not carry on there. So back. Oh yeah, renounce this thing now. No. I said, remove this chain, renounce this thing. You can't hold on to the work of the devil and think you'll be free of this false prophet. They are very promiscuous. I said, yes. Somebody is dragging this thing from my soul. If you study that place in the book of Acts, when there was a lady that was prophesying in the field of divination, Paul and I think Barnabas or one of them, they came to a certain city to preach the gospel. And while they were about to preach, a certain lady was following them up behind and saying, I mean, he's saying it from the Holy Ghost. A spirit of divination. If you check that divination in the Greek, it's actually translated as Python. And the goddess of Python is the one responsible for this city, for sexual immorality. Praise the Lord. So it took Paul 3 days for him to descend. And she was following them everywhere. Following them saying, it's the way of salvation. The way of salvation. These are men showing us. It may even look like God wanted to use that name to announce them. But in the spirit, it was divination. It was Satan at work. So why was he following salvation? He wanted them to be blinded and they were accepted as part of the fold. She needed their acceptance to continue her work. So that by the time they start doing the work of salvation, they will carry her to as a woman of God. As prophetess. And that is why many false prophets, I don't understand. Don't worry. You soon see things you don't understand. But you think this word, you think you understand everything. This world. Have you ever asked yourself, where did the water come from? Okay, it came from the ground. Who put it in the ground first? Who manufactured water and put it in the ground? And how was it manufactured? Yeah, see, you cannot understand. Your brain is too small. Your brain is too small. The closest I saw to it in the Bible is in the book of Job, where God said he caused his breath to dissolve. I saw it like this. I said, let me not think it too much. If I don't understand it, I leave it. And I go. So I'm saying all of these things to yes, I deviated from my sermon, but to challenge you. A person does not care about anything spirituality, but when they see that it's business like this business is about to crash, no more. Find one pastor. No more. Voila, they close. I've met many of such. For many people, all their Christianity is preservation of Christianity. I bet, bless oil for me. Bless oil for me. Eh? So that I would. He's just bless this water for me so that it will be well with my this thing. It will be well with all their Christianity is what they can get, how they can preserve their children, but on their own. Ask them what they really love. It's not God. What they really love, some of them is oh and bear. Some of them they love other things. They have the burning passion. Some who is coding, is computer programming they love. They have the burning passion for all those love.
Hallelujah.
So let me give an example. Have you ever, if maybe you've seen a guy who is in love with a girl, many times if you ask him, how did you begin? It may have been that he saw this girl and she was not so beautiful. And the beauty first of all caught his attention. Are you missing this? And he now walks up to her and then tries to talk to her, then discovers that, oh, she's not just beautiful, she has a beautiful character. Or some of you go and find her and ask. The cover is good. So they see this beautiful girl. This guy sees this girl, she's beautiful. Hair to toe, beautiful. See, it's a speck, right? Speck. For the look. Gabal and say, make. Am I correct? I sabi. Praise the Lord. But if they now go to the girl, or maybe they try to talk to her and discover that her character is also beautiful, then you get closer to her, you find out she's such a great person, such a great personality, and yet, and love now increases even yet the more. Can I tell you something? That beautiful girl that you admire and you are in love with, God is the one that created her. If God created that beauty, then God is more beautiful. God is more beautiful. You cannot claim to be in love with his creation and not love. Everything beautiful you see in this world that you are in love with, God was the one that created it. The reason why you don't love God is because you don't know God. I'm telling you. If you know him, you will love him. Have you met some people and you are like, You are tempted to say things like, to know you is to love you. Oh, you don't know there are human beings like that. Oh, there are believers like that. I've met some believers that they are the ones that make me know that the maturity in Christ is possible. You will meet some people, and when you see how much they can love another human being and every small thing they can forgive, you can see that God has worked on them. There are people that you just, when you meet, you say, thank God I met you. I'm not there yet, but in some people's lives, they have described me like that. Praise the Lord. But guess what? Everything beautiful, God is the one that made it. The whole idea of love, God is the one that crafted it out. The whole idea that you can look at somebody and be attracted to the person and you are like, wow. I believe that lady was whining me one day. One day I came to church in Port Harcourt Church. His sister walked up to me and said, Pastor, you are fine. I said, thank you. Say, Pastor, see, you don't understand. She get talk. Me, I just carried myself and said, see, Satan, there's how he fell. They told Satan that he was too fine. So I carried myself and went away. But guess what? That whole idea that you can see somebody or something and be attracted to it, God was the one that did it. Do you know that God could have decided that there will not be anything called marriage? Do you know God could have decided that you will not be attracted to any guy? Yes. And that concept of marriage and even having sex or have children may not even be there. Maybe God would have decided that there will just be a plan. When you want children, you go and submit your application. The day you are ready, you receive your child. No pushing, no pain, no sex. Just one child. Order your child. They'll deliver it to your house. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Cookie. Your baby is ready. God could have done it. So everything beautiful came from him. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. Except that me, God is beautiful. Also, another reason why people don't love him, I'm going to dwell on the second point the most, is that they don't know what he has done for them. You make claim to have an issue with a neighbor until maybe you now discover that neighbor has been rooting for you since and you never knew. Maybe you may claim you hate a colleague of yours. You don't just like this person. Then you now find out that the promotion you got 2 months ago, he was the one that went to the board and said, give up. He was the one that fought for you not to be fired. He was the one that fought. And to you, you may be looking at him, this over serious person serving in the office. Why is he over? You don't know that that's the guy that has been on your side ever since. When you now find out what he has been doing for you, your disposition will change. Maybe when he shouts the next time, you say, don't worry, keep shouting at me. When you understand who God is and what he has done, that will be your disposition too. The problem is that people don't know who God he has done, and sometimes you cannot even blame them because God has been misrepresented. God has been, in fact, somebody told me one time, because he said, God is the person that has the skill of taking away all the fun from our lives. He has they just believe that God and following the Lord just takes away all the fun. That's what most believe. But when you study properly and your eyes are open to who God is. So let us look at what he has done. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7. 1 John 4 verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7. 1, 2, 3, go. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Glory. Glory. Now that we might live through him. That we might live through him. Let me tell you the problem. The issue is that God is the Spirit, and the things that God does is in the realm of the Spirit. So if you're a person that all you know about life and knowledge is in the carnal realm, you may not be able to grasp fully what God has done. See, he says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us. Meaning, this is how God demonstrated that he loved us. By sending his Son to die for us, that we might live through him. Let me tell you something. When a person dies physically and closes his eyes, or takes his last breath, that is just the beginning. I'm telling you. There is a death more serious than physical death. If they have not told you before, if you may not have heard it before, it is real. There is a death more serious than physical death. God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. When they ate of the fruit, did they stop breathing? They were walking around, but they became naked. That was proof that the real death had happened. And God knows that when a person dies physically, if he's not rescued, there is a place called eternal judgment. He's going there. Let me tell you something. That is why the church exists. Because people cannot see it. When you go to preach to somebody and tell the person, come to church, many times they think they're doing you a favor. Okay, let me come to your church now. And I'll just come. Sometimes it may take them 10 years for their spiritual eyes to open, to really see what you're doing for them. That's why there's nothing that can stop the church. Nothing can stop New Breed. Whether the devil likes it or not, in a short while, we'll be at the forefront of the gospel globally. Yeah. I'm telling you. Because, see, God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. People on that, see, do you know what this means? This means you can be existing but not living. People are on their way to eternal death. And they don't know. You meet them every day in your office, on your street, at work, at home, in your estate. They're on their way to eternal death. See, that is why if you study religions very well, the most persecuted religion is Christianity. Check it. Go and do the statistics around the world. There is a reason why. That we might live through him. That we might live through him. When you understand that he rescued you from the most horrendous death, I've seen hell before in a vision. The one I saw, I don't want to see it again. I'm telling you, it's real. Have you ever asked yourself one day, like, all this wickedness in the world, all this evil that people are doing, how will it be dealt with? Has somebody stolen your phone before and you felt like, why couldn't I just catch this person and just... Or they stole your laptop, or like I used to hear they do some places in Abuja, just break somebody's screen. So break somebody's car screen window and collect things. And you feel like, can't I just catch this person and just... Many times you can't. Because it's a fallen world. Sometimes you may catch the person, the story will turn upside down. It happens everywhere. Both in Nigeria and other nations, it happens. But guess what? There is a judge that nobody can miss. Everybody, the Bible says, is disappointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody. That's why there's a book of life and there's a book of works. Everybody, from the very first man to the very last man, everybody, every single person, you are going to stand before God and your works are going to be scraped, to be exchanged in front of you. And guess what? Nobody will make it by works. Nobody, even the person that thought it was nice, you have thoughts that did not manifest that God saw and recorded. Nobody will make it, but every man is condemned to die eternally. If God does not give you, see, if God does not give a man a rescue plan, we are all finished. The rescue plan is that we might live through him. And the reason he did this is because he loves us. You know the dichotomy of being God? You have to be just and love at the same time. So how will he balance his love with his justice? So he has to come as a man and die the death that we deserve to die, and so that it will now be that, okay, it's no longer me now. Are you with me? That we might live through him. See verse 10. Hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, see, God did not wait for you to say, I will respond first. He came first, hoping that you will respond one day. Hoping that one day you will eventually become passionate about God. Hoping that one day, when we are worshiping, your eyes and your heart will be so filled with how much he has done for you that you begin to cry and worship him. Praise the Lord. Hearing his love, not that we love God. You are not. See, it's not because you are so righteous. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Then it says in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. See, let me tell you something. You cannot really teach about love without talking about this first. If a man does not love God, he cannot love other men. Yes. If a man does not love God, he cannot love, he will not even love his spouse. That's why I'm taking my time to teach it first. If a man has not caught the love inferno for God, let me tell you, there will be some times where your spouse will do things to you that if you don't love God, you will react in the wrong way. The married man is laughing. You know this, right? It is the love for God that will now make you. People will say, your wife do you that kind of thing. I will slap my face before I say sorry. You don't hear things, the people say. Human beings, see, the natural man cannot love, actually. The love of God inside of him that ought to have been has been twisted by darkness. Beloved, God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What has he done? Let's go on. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. This is the last set of scriptures we will go through and we'll just close from the ship that we did. Everybody read this verse. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, because we have come to understand. That's what that means. The love of Christ constraineth us. Another word you can use for constraint is, the love of Christ is the energy within us. It motivates us. Because we have come to understand that if one died for all, then we're all dead. I mean, if one had to die for all, then all of us deserve to die. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, he's saying that God believes that if you truly understand what he has done for you, you will respond in consecration. You will respond in saying, I will not live unto myself. Say after me, I will not live unto myself. Let me tell you, if you don't have this, Christianity will be boring for you. If you don't have that love for God that stems out of an understanding of who he is, everything we are doing, you'll be like, what is it? They are not stressing us. Must I pray? Wait. It's just like that man in the office who was fighting for your promotion, who had been rooting for you in that organization. Maybe if he comes and says, print this file for me, you'll be like, what is it? Every time you are sending me, don't you have a PA? Every time, help me get this file to you. Then you now discover that it's that guy that has made you become a manager in that place. It is that guy that ensured that you were not fired when the company was downsizing. It is that guy. The next time he comes, he's coming to say, do something, sir. I'm willing and obedient. You'll be wondering, now, maybe it's now done on him that, okay, she has heard. She has heard. But unto him which died for them and rose again, verse 16. Henceforth we know no man after the pleasure, though we have known Christ after the pleasure, yet now henceforth knowing him no more. Verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hey! You missed a place to shout glory. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Who else could have given us a new life except Jesus? Every other religion tells you how you must do something to become something. No. He made you a new creature, then asked you to do. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now everybody read verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me explain. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Listen. Don't think you understand this. He did not say, and all things are of God, who came and ensured that we reconciled. We had a meeting and we reconciled. No. He reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. See what he's saying. In normal reconciliation, if I make you angry, I'm the one supposed to come and say, I am sorry. Or let's assume I mistakenly set your house on fire. God forbid. I mistakenly set your house on fire. I'm the one to come back and say, I'm sorry. See what happened. But that's not what happened, though. We did not even go to God to say we are sorry. This is we
So see what he's trying to say here. We are the ones that hurt God, but God decided that he will sort out everything that happened and pretend as though that we are, as though we came and said sorry. So he consoled himself by himself. And I said, because I've consoled myself and I still love you. It's just like a boy and a girl. They are dating. The girl came, and maybe he's into Forex and all of that. And she angrily insulted him that day. She just said her mood was swinging. Swing it back. She just came that day, angrily just typed something on the computer, and he lost $10,000. And walked away. And the guy, because he loved the girl so much, did not wait for her to say he's sorry. He went, found a way, repaid everybody that money came back from, and said, you know what, I've paid them to, so that it will be as though you have reconciled, you have come to say sorry, so come back, please. So, he said, I have reconciled you to myself. You are not planning it, but I have done it. Are you with me? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus. So God did all the legalities required for us to be sanctified and reconciled to himself, and said, you know what, I'm no more angry again. What would have made me angry, I'm not angry again. And now, he has given to us the ministry, except that I am reconciled to God.
I am reconciled.
By Jesus Christ. And had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody read verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto what? Same example. So, instead of him telling the girl to pay, he went to find money to pay and said, you know what, don't think about the payment. I've already paid. Just come, let's come back and have our relationship. Don't think about what you did. Just think about me and you. Don't think about the mistake you made. Just think about me and you. That's what he's saying here. So God is not going around telling people that, hey, you are a sinner. No, he's not angry with them. Instead, he's telling them, come and join me. Don't think about the mistake you made. I have forgiven you. The payment you deserve, I have taken care of it. And how do I know? See the next place. So with God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not to bring their trespasses unto them. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did deceive you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Do you know what this means? It means, as Christians, we go out as though we are Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, telling the world that right now, God is not angry with you. The only option is if you're angry with him. Because he has already reconciled you to himself, will you now be reconciled to him? It's just like the guy now saying, I have paid for all the money that you made me lose. I have paid for all the damages that you did. But I have forgiven you. I'm not the one angry. It's now you to decide if you will come or you will go. And he's begging you, come and be reconciled to me. I've already reconciled you to myself. I'm not angry again. You now, will you allow yourself to be reconciled to me? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did besiege you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And he caps it up in verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look at, Jesus did not commit any sin. Oh my God. He did not commit any iniquity, yet he died as though he committed all iniquity so that we would get the blessings of his righteousness. Yes. The righteous man is supposed to be treated with dignity and honor and praise and glory. You know what he did? He said, you know what? I will take the punishment you deserve and you will take the glory I deserved. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So because of what he has done, I am now God's righteousness. I live in the glory and the righteousness of God. I thought you would say that. I live in the glory and the righteousness of God. Let me tell you, the more you understand all of this, you have to begin to open to him. So finally, as we, hey Jesus, how do I ignite God's inferno in my heart? Number one, be born again. Number two, grow in the revelation of who God is. So, because you see, you this thing we're talking about knowing who God is, it will take the work of the Spirit. So, you have to spend time in the Word of God, in prayer, and gradually, you have to begin to open. So, if you are here, and you are hearing what we are saying, and we're like, these guys, just be coming. Let the Word of God be entering your heart. After a while, you will begin to get it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number one, be born again. Grow in the revelation of who God is. Number one, be born again. Number two, grow in the revelation of who God is. Number three, grow in the revelation of God's love for you. Yes. You need to know how much He loves you. He has loved you too much not to love Him back. You know, 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Shall I repeat the points? The first one is be born again. Number two, grow in the revelation of who God is. Number three, grow in the revelation of God's love for you. And number four, make sacrifices for the Lord. Make sacrifices for the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, some mothers, you wonder why they love their child so much. They carry that child for 9 months. Sacrifice and blood has gone in. So, when your treasure is into something, your heart will go there also. Have you seen people who, they're in a toxic relationship, when you ask them to leave the relationship, you say, we've gone through a lot together. No, it's not a joke. So, because of the kind of sacrifice they've gone through with this person, it's difficult for them to let go. In the same way, when you make sacrifices for the Lord, your heart will begin to pant after Him. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He did not say, where your heart is, your treasure will be. He said, well, if you want to send your heart in the direction, send your resources there. You can direct your heart. Jump on your feet and thank Him.